This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, saying good morning to you.
Good morning, Franklin.
And nice to have you by here.
Hi.
Once again, in a brand new year, of course.
Brand new.
Yeah, and man, is it cold.
That's not so new.
Oh, my.
I tell you, just driving down here, the temperature thermometer, yeah. I guess, or temperature on my car saying outdoor temperature was minus 22. Meanwhile, I had my thermostat inside the car set at 22. And I was like, wow, 44 degree differential between inside and outside my car.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, I get up, I couldn't have a shower this morning. The hot water, the pipes had frozen. Yeah. So when I left, Shirley was busy hunting down the hair dryer. And, you know,
thaw those pipes.
Apparently she got it working.
Good.
So everything's cool.
And get them thawed before they bust.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome along. Anyway, I better get the phone numbers on the air here. Let folks know how to get a hold of you, Charlie.
Yep.
Okay. To reach Charlie Dobbin here at Zoomer Radio, it is very simple. In Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Then anywhere else in the province, 1-866-740-4740. Our little mantra is call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, hey, just let Sebastian, our operator, know, and he'll pass that along to me. And then when you get to the air, you get the bell.
Wings. Yeah. Garden wings.
Garden wings. There
okay,
you go.
Well, you know, Christmas, New Year, everything has started because we're back into meetings, society. So a couple of upcoming events. One, which I find interesting, the Royal Botanical Gardens wants your Christmas trees.
Mm.
Help them reach their goal of 3,200 donated Christmas trees. Because this time of year, RBG uses discarded Christmas trees, we're talking, you know, real ones, to rebuild creek channels with berms.
Oh.
Particularly after last year, when the water levels were so high, they had all kinds of problems with losing the banks, right? Mm. So the trees are super important. These trees help keep the carp out, because that's the other thing. It's the carp that are in Lake Ontario, out of the bay, and facilitate the regrowth of marsh plants, creating habitat for native fish and wildlife. Drop off your live trees, stripped of all decorations, of course, at either Princess Point or at Valley Inn on Spring Gardens Road on the way to the Laking Garden between now and January 12th. Look for signage indicating the drop-off areas. So
okay.
That's a great way to deal with your tree. The Agent Court Garden Club is meeting on Monday, this coming Monday, 8 p.m., at the Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland at Shepherd. Guest speaker is Lorraine Johnson on Gardens, Goats, and Greenway. Dessert table, coffee, tea, everything for a small donation. Everyone is welcome. It'll be interesting. Lorraine?
Yeah, say it again. Garden, goats?
Well,
goats?
Goats, yes. Gardens, goats, and Greenway.
Okay.
Okay, so I get the gardens and the goats. I'm just not sure what Greenway means. So it might be a meeting we should go to find out what exactly Lorraine is talking about. She was here. She was a guest here on
this. That's right. Yes.
Remember she had the snazzy tights?
Oh, snazzy tights.
Yeah.
I should remember that,
you
huh?
did mention them at the time.
Trust me.
The Scarborough Garden and Horticultural Society meets this Wednesday, January the 10th, general meeting and free presentation and entitled Your Pain is Their Pain. So this is Preventing Bird Collisions with Windows by Paloma Plant. What a great name, eh? Paloma Plant, who is the co-founder, project coordinator for the Fatal Light Awareness Program. Refreshments, of course, are included. Everyone is welcome. Doors open at 7 o'clock. Scarborough Village Community Center, 3600 Kingston Road at Markham Road.
Alrighty.
All right.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Well, caught up there. All the goodies going on. And we'll be back to have a chat. As a matter of fact, we have a Jap on the line from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. There you go, Frankie.
I lived in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
For 3 years as a small child.
Well, you're going to be on
air. I probably know Jim.
Exactly. Jim, you hold tight. We're coming right back here on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, Frank Proctor here, doing a little sleuthing before we talk to Jim, or at least he's listening to us right now. I'm looking at the PA on there, getting all messed up.
Sorry.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Jim online. Jim, you've called the show before, have you?
Oh, about 2 years ago.
Good morning.
Even remember what the question was, but yeah.
Oh, good. Well,
welcome
back.
Yep,
great. I listen to you guys all the time on the train and get the podcast, and you help make that commute much better.
Oh, nice. Good to hear.
What's the weather like, by the way, in Philadelphia?
Oh, it's freezing. It was 12 Fahrenheit. I'm sure that's negative for you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite negative because 32 is zero for us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And you got? Did you get a bunch of snow in the last few days?
We did.
The nor'easter.
What kind of bomb did they call it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The snow bomb or
snow
whatever.
Bomb.
Yeah, it's like frost bomb.
Not
yeah, the heater just keeps running. It's freezing down.
Yeah.
A few people were shouting some F-bombs out there, I'll tell you.
Frank.
Yes, Frank. Oh, my goodness.
Well, they were.
So what's going on, Jim?
Like a good gardener, Charlie, last weekend went out bargain hunting.
Oh,
I hit my favorite garden center, and they had the last on the shelf was a 25 pack of purple tulip blend.
Mm-hmm.
So got them, looked at them. They had five that are in it that are bad, five bulbs that are bad. All the rest look beautiful.
Okay.
I have a bunch of 6-inch round by 4-inch deep containers.
Okay.
Was going to pot them up in those.
Yeah.
I can't get them in the ground, obviously.
No.
It's just frozen up, and I don't have enough fridge space to store that many containers. What's my next step? They don't have to bloom or anything, right? I just don't want to lose them.
Right. Well, but nevertheless, they do need that. Well, you're right. Do you have anything that's sort of fridge kind of temperature?
The basement, I could put them in a back corner up against and out the most far outside wall. I thought put some cardboard around it to keep that cold. But that's only going to get down to, I don't know, 60 even.
Yeah.
60 Fahrenheit even.
But you know, you make a good point. By getting them into some soil, watering them once, of course, put them into plastic bags, dark, could be green garbage bags, just something dark so that no light gets on them, and then put them in the coolest spot you can after you've watered and you've drained the water through so that they're not sitting in water inside the bags, and then just leave them alone. Leave them for the next, you know, 10 weeks, roughly, and after 10 weeks, where will we be then? January, February, March. Pull them out of the bags, and if they haven't had enough cooling, then you're right. The flower buds may not have initiated, but the bulbs will still be alive because root growth will take place while they're in the pots, been watered once, you know, in the bags kind of thing. So if you don't get flowers, you'll still get leaves, and you're going to have to, whatever grows, let it grow. At some point, leaves will definitely grow, maybe flowers first, and then you're going to have to let those leaves do their thing. So they're going to be green leaves for another 6 or 8 weeks. You're going to have them in the sunshine, of course, at that point. They'll be in a window ledge. If it's super warm, we get a really early spring, you never know. You might be able to even put them outside, but I doubt it in March. Maybe by April, you can go outside with them. And just let them do their thing. The green leaves will eventually fade away to yellow leaves. They will go dormant on their own. And once that's happened, then you'll get them into the ground in the spring or summer when the ground is thawed. A spot where they will flower in the spring of 2019, outdoors.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Wow. Frank, when I called last time, I said I was the initial member of the Frank Proctor International Fan Club.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrific.
All right, thanks for the info, Charlie.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
Pleasure to talk to you, Jim. All the very best. Okay.
The International Fan Club. Isn't
it? Yes, of course.
I'm telling you.
I think
you.
I've got maybe 9 members now. Really unbelievable.
I'm
Cochelle
I'm
up there in Aurelia.
I have a card. I'm a card-carrying member.
Well, she is the president, Kim, up there. She knows all about that sort of stuff. Silly stuff. Huh? Hey, nice to have you by here this morning. And look at another old friend on the line right now, Josephine in Pickering. Hello. Oh, Josephine, just going to have you hold on for a moment by getting word from my boss, actually, Charlie, saying, hey, we have to do a break.
We do.
And we'll be back to hi to Josephine in just a moment here on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Charlie, just before we join up again with Josephine out there in Pickering, let me repeat those phone numbers for folks who want to get a hold of you with a question or, hey, a comment, maybe a nice little tip you can pass along. In Toronto, call 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Hello, Josephine. Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you this morning?
Good morning. Great. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to the both of you. I hope you had a good season.
Yes, indeed.
That's good. Guess what? I never thought I'd see the day that I almost murdered a plant.
Oh, really?
My kids always say I have a green thumb, but if they saw this poinsettia, they'd turn around and say, Mom, what did you do?
So what, it's lost all its leaves?
Pardon?
Has it dropped all its leaves?
No, I'll tell you what happened. Actually, it's the first time I've ever had a poinsettia that the leaves were drooping all the time. So naturally, I figured, okay, it's drying out. I felt the soil, it was kind of dry, so I thought, okay, I'll water it.
Uh-huh.
Well, guess what? I drowned it.
Yes, that's quite likely.
Now, the thing is this. I've taken all the dead stuff off, except for some, believe it or not, there is one flower.
Okay.
Now, can I cut it back now?
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Cut it back down?
The stems are green, right?
Yes, the stems are green and they're healthy.
Yeah, so cut it down. And if you look at the stems, you're going to see little bumps on the stems.
Yes, I've noticed that.
And each of those bumps, that's called a node.
Right.
That's where a new leaf, well, there is a bud underneath that you can't see, a dormant bud at each of those bumps. So if you cut down to just above a bump.
Okay.
So, you know, how far do you cut it down? You may want to go down pretty low. Like, you may want to go right down so it's only, you know, a couple inches tall.
So maybe about 3 or 4 inches tall?
Yep, absolutely. Just clean cuts, get it into some sunshine, and do not water.
I'm not watering it. I haven't watered it since I partially drowned it. I emptied some of the water out. You know, the other plants were saying, thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and keep in mind, poinsettias do not like the cold. So
no,
make sure it's not on a window ledge.
It's been pretty cold, and I have it in the front room now.
Yeah.
The sun is pretty bright because I face south.
Good. Yep.
There's
it loves
the sunlight there.
Yeah, I just find that there's a lot of cold coming off the glass on any of our window ledges. Yeah. So certainly many plants are just fine with that cold on the window ledges, but many plants are not. And poinsettias are one that do not want that cold window ledge. So other than that, cut it down. Don't water until you start seeing some real growth happening. Okay.
I'll never drown a plant again.
That's just too much love.
Yeah.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Josephine.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
I love it.
Yeah, that can be a problem, isn't it? You know, you're killing plants with kindness.
That's exactly
you think
right.
You're doing the right thing, and oh, no. I've knocked them off.
So never water by the calendar. Water by feeling the soil.
Or that idea of getting moisture
meter.
Yeah,
a moisture meter is a handy little gizmo. It's like a probe.
Well, I tried to go online to find out how much one of those cost.
Yeah, they're like $10.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay. I was into the $50 range. I'm thinking, what the heck?
Well, they sell them at, Canadian Tire.
Yeah.
They should have them at this time of year, Home Depot.
Handy gadget to have, really.
Oh, very handy, particularly if it's a big pot, indoors. Little pots, you can feel the weight. Mm-hmm. You can lift it up and say, okay, it's heavy, it doesn't need water, or it's light, it does need water. But you get into the big, like a palm tree in a 10 or 12 inch pot.
That's right.
You feel the surface. That's not telling you anything about
what's going
six inches down, right?
You got it.
So that's where that probe goes into the soil, and it's got a little dial, and it tells you what the moisture level is down, 6, 8, 10 inches down into the soil.
Right. We're about minus 22 right now, with a lot of folks out there not thinking too much about gardening at the moment.
I think not.
And with good reason, right?
Well, but in case you do. No, because this is the time to think about gardening. When it's gardening season, we don't have time to think. Now is the time to dream.
Okay.
So this is the pull out the, you know, the seed catalogs and start, you know, dreaming about next spring's garden.
I know that you've got a couple of emails that we can deal with in a moment here. Just let me repeat those phone numbers just in case folks are saying, is it a good time to call?
Yep.
You bet.
It's a good time.
Okay, in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Okay, Charlie, some emails you've got in hand there.
Well, I got a one this week from, we've got a lot of American visitors to our to me this week. This is Roscoe who sent, he's from Roscoe, Illinois.
Oh.
This is Richard Nowicki sent an email saying, I heard your show and recall hearing of many people helping feral cats survive this brutal winter, and a design that seems simple yet very reasonable to create can be found at the following website. The website is www, and it's all one word, feralcatcaretakers.org. So feralcatcaretakers.org shows many designs for making shelters for stray cats. He mentions... like I said, he lives in Roscoe, which is apparently 90 miles west of Chicago, that Chicago has a huge rat problem, and feral cats can be a very good
tool
for helping to cure the rat problems. So, you know, good point. And when you look at the website, it's quite extensive. It is put together by a woman who herself is a feral cat caretaker in Los Angeles. So, of course, so she's dealing with far different climate than us, but she covers off right from, you know, California, Southern California type climate, food shelter, overnight shelter, out of the any kind of weather shelter, rain, you know, wind, cold. And so she does show insulated shelters and that sort of thing. Yeah. But for an update on my feral cat.
Mr. Mist.
When did it get cold? Was it like last Sunday when it got really cold? I should have written it down.
I think you're right,
whatever day it was. So Sunday was New Year's Eve. So was it the next day? Anyway, whatever day it got cold. See, because he has heated water bowl outside and he has a heated shelter, which is electrically heated. It's just got an electric pad inside it that is heated to cat temperature.
Yeah.
And it's all waterproofed and you know, it's not like warm, but it obviously keeps them from freezing to death. And but as soon as it got into the minus double digits, he sat at the back door because he's been avoiding coming in, right? This is a cat
that won't
make eye contact with me when the weather's good. But as soon as we hit minus double digits, he's like, I'm coming in. And he hasn't gone out since.
Oh, really?
He's been in all week.
No kidding.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Smart cat.
Well, and he's funny because he follows me around. Wherever I am, he's always right at my foot. Like, he actually lies on my feet. So he's always in contact. So, and you know, obviously I can pet him. I can't pick him up.
He's imprinted you.
Totally. Exactly. Like, he follows me around. He's like my little shadow.
So isn't that great?
Can't step without looking because he's always right there. And of course, my regular house cat, my Carter, is a little on the jealous side.
A little PO'd.
He can't get in there for his own rubs because it's this other cat's right there. And I think that's part of why he's doing this, sitting on me.
Man.
He's trying to say, she's mine.
Yeah.
She's mine. So I got a cat competition going on.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Okay, we have another...
Did you want another email?
Oh, sure, yeah.
I always have lots of email. Speaking of which, why don't you give my email address?
I should do that, and I will
do
that.
Do you know it?
Yes, I do.
Because
right off
know
the top
it.
Of my noggin here. It is c.dobbin, that's D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. Okay, that's... C.Dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com.
Remember when we first started doing this show, you kept calling me Charlie Dobbin.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I could have killed you.
That's so long ago. It's 10 years you've been harboring this.
Exactly. Yeah. I've been remembering that. This is an email from Virginia Drake, and she says, I have an amaryllis which is 2 to 3 years old. I have heard that when an amaryllis is brought back into the light, and watered, that the flower grows first and then the leaves. Mine has sprouted 3 new leaves, but no sign of a flower. Last year, it grew back with a flower first. Is this normal? Should I fertilize it? How often should it be watered now? I've been doing it about once a week. Thanks for your help. See, that's why people email. They get to ask 3 questions instead of just one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Virginia, what you're experiencing is something that I have definitely experienced many times. I follow all the rules and I put my amaryllis to sleep, and then when I wake them up, I get leaves and I don't get flowers, because once those leaves come, that's all you get. You can continue to water and continue to get leaves and continue to fatten the bulb up with the leaves, right? Because that's what the leaves are doing. The leaves, if we're in some sunshine, will absorb that sunlight, convert it to carbohydrates, fatten up the bulb. So you want the leaves for the purposes of fattening up the bulb. Should you fertilize? Yes, because that will also encourage more storage of, you know, more carbohydrate. Providing proper nutrients is always good for plants. So actively growing plants like your amaryllis is, can be fertilized. But you're not going to see a flower this time around. However, you know, you can go through the process, let it be green leaves all spring, all summer, and then again, force it into dormancy in late summer, early fall. So outside, once we're frost-free, outside all summer, bring it in, stop watering it, or stick it in the garage, whatever. Stop watering it in the late summer and see if, you know, again, after a 10-week dormant period, it'll shoot up a flower stem or not. But I do have friends who have just left their amaryllis, and they never force them to go dormant. They just allow them to be a green plant all the time.
Ah, okay. Nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's a big plant. They have big leaves. It becomes, you know, you need space for something like that. So what that means is you never stop watering it. You water as required. I can't tell you whether it's once a week or once a month. It depends how big the pot is, what temperature it's in, how much sun it's in. So feel the soil before you water. If you leave the plant to be a green plant, a house plant, year round, always with leaves, it will shoot up flowers when you least expect it. So it won't necessarily be Christmas time, but it will shoot up flowers just out of the blue. It might be July, it might be March.
Hey, any time is welcome. Right?
Yeah. So if you've got the room and you're able to allow that plant to be a house plant, then try that as an option instead of the struggle of dormant and forced dormancy and then waking up and frustration, etc. Just let it grow. Let it be a green plant and get some flowers when you get them.
You get them. Okay. You know, at the top of the show, we always do our little mantra, call early, call often, one question per call.
Yes.
And you know, there's a listener in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who really abides by that little mantra. In fact, let's welcome him back now.
Wow.
Jim, Philadelphia. Hi, how are you doing again?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
That's
again.
Too funny. I didn't want to get a ticket. An international ticket could really be a problem.
No kidding. You know, just the conversion of the money is costly.
Wanted to talk about milkweed, but follow up on my tulips, Charlie. The 6-inch containers, looks like they'll handle 4 bulbs. It's okay to kind of close, but just don't have them touching?
No, you can actually have them touch when you're in pots.
So, jam is 5 or 6.
Yeah,
okay.
Jam as many. And remember, you're not going to bury. See, out inside in the real world of in the ground, you're right. Bulbs shouldn't touch. Mm-hmm. And of course, we dig them down 6, 7, 8 inches, depending on how many squirrels are around who might dig them up. But in pots, you leave the little noses, the little pointy bits, just right poking up out of the soil.
Oh,
right. So you don't need
that. Okay.
Yeah, so they don't go right down to the bottom. That you'll have soil in the bottom, and the tulips will be sitting on the soil, and then soil will go around, but you will see the bulbs.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I'll dig those back out. Milkweed, I know they have to be stratified, the seeds, I think that's what it's called, and I pulled some pods. They're in a drawer right now. I wanted to, put them in, again, these 6-inch containers, and then they need to probably go outside and get frozen. Is there a way I can work it so I can get plants out of those for next year?
What I would do with those milkweed seeds, okay, so they're in the pod still, so you'd have to separate the seeds from the fuzzy chaff, if you will, and I could double check this, but what I, off the top of my head, what I would do is similar to what Frank and I did with the acorns when we collected those in the fall. We did stratify them. You're right. That is the right terminology. And what that means is you need to give them a cold period. The refrigerator, like the seeds you have, well, what we did is we just took a plastic.
Put them in the Ziploc.
Yeah, plastic Ziploc bags, some just, you know, just moist, clean, fresh, sterile, never been used potting soil. Dumped the acorns in there, zipped them up into the bag, and stuck them in the fridge for two and a half months, and they germinated in the bag. So it was very obvious. You could just take out those germinated acorns and then plant them up into pots. So my impulse would be to do something very similar like that with the milkweed. Rather than trying to put pots in the fridge, just put them into a bag.
Okay.
But do separate all that chaff out, because that'll all start to rot, right? You just want the seeds.
Yeah, just make it pure seed.
Yeah, pure seed.
And just put a bunch of seed in. Don't worry about how many.
Yeah, don't worry about how many.
You think they'll sprout?
I think they might.
Okay.
Just make sure it's clean, sterile potting soil.
Brand new stuff.
Yep.
Okay. All right, great.
Good.
Thanks
for calling.
Good to have you again here on the show, Jim. All
Jim's
the very best.
Going to listen to the podcast and be able to listen to himself.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Hey, what a thrill that is, huh?
I bet.
Boy,
thanks.
A radio star. We're going to take a little bit of a break here and then come back to get out to Unionville to say hi to Francis here on Zoomer Radio. And we broadcast, of course, live and direct from Liberty Village, the Zoomerplex.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's say hi to Francis in Unionville. Welcome to the show, Francis.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I had this beautiful, beautiful, tall rosemary plant that was in a big pot outdoors all summer, mm-hmm. doing beautifully well. And I brought it into my sunny south-facing porch, mm-hmm. and it was doing fine until last week when a lot of the little leaves just froze.
Oh, huh.
I know. So I brought it in, and they did. The frozen ones dried up, fell off. And I do have a couple of branches that are still green and alive. What do I do with the rest of it?
So you have some branches that are still flexible, supple. You can tell they're still alive.
Yes.
And the others all just all dry and defoliated probably.
Yeah.
Trimming off all the dead would be the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It might end up being, so is it kind of one side is alive and the other side is dead sort of thing? Or?
Yeah, that's about it. The center part is still, mostly it's around in the center. That's alive.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh. So you know what? Trim it back. Trim all the dead off. It's going to be a much smaller plant after this. But all that trimming you do is going to actually be quite rejuvenating for the plant. It's going to actually pop out a bunch of new growth as a result of doing all that trimming back. And make sure you clean up any of the foliage that's dropped onto the surface of the soil so that you're back to a nice, you know, clean, good-looking plant.
Mm-hmm.
They are very drought-tolerant plants. So remember, be careful. It's smaller now. It's going to use less water than whatever you were watering or however often you were watering. You're going to water less often, same quantity, but less frequent in order to keep the plant happy and healthy and growing. And in the next, you know, 6 weeks or so, we can start fertilizing all of our indoor plants and really, again, feed that the longer days that are coming. And the plants are going to really start, you know, responding to the longer days. Even the temperature is going to get warmer at some point, mm-hmm. and the plants will respond to that. And so it'll be appropriate to fertilize at that point.
Okay, so even by pulling all the little dead leaves off, it's not going to sprout along the branch at all.
No. It's just going to shrivel up and look.
But it's a good thing that the live portion is in the center, mm-hmm. Because then it'll be symmetrically, I would think, better than just one side.
It's nice and tall, so I'll just leave that part alone. I won't trim that part at all.
Okay, well, yeah, bottom line is take off anything that's dead.
Okay.
Okay, and then stand back and look at it. And you're right, if you like it kind of growing as a taller plant, then leave it. If you want to, again, force out new growth, trimming will do that.
Give us a call when, you know, a couple of weeks' time or whatever to see how the progress is.
Yeah, and good for you for keeping it as you have from bringing it outside, sorry, from outside to inside. Because rosemary is a kind of a tricky one to bring in, I find. They often don't get through the winter very well.
Huh. No. My little ones, if they're my small plants have never made it through the winter.
Okay.
But this was, you know, a nice big one. Yeah. It was healthy, had lots of soil in it, and I thought, it'll make it.
Yeah.
And it would have.
A little frosting. Well, they are what's considered a tender perennial.
Yeah.
So that's what's happened. It's respond. You know, the cold temperature, it's responded to that by losing some of its newest growth, which is the stuff on the outside edges. Okay.
Okay, thank you, guys. I'll try that.
Okay, good luck with that, Francis.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for joining us here on a Saturday morning. A beautiful-looking day out there, but very cold.
Yeah, look at that blue sky.
Well,
not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah. Let me reach for the bell. Yes, indeed. We have a first-time caller. Yes, indeed. Joanne in Toronto. That's for you, my love. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. You have your wings.
I have, my question is, I have never any luck when I bring my plants in from the garden, and this, I have a Christmas cactus, and I have an Irish shamrock flower, and I have my spider plant, and as soon as I bring them in the last 3 years, they just die. I don't know if it's to do with the heat in the house, the gas, but I've never no luck. They just seem to die. I mean, I have to every year I have to buy new ones, and they're beautiful in the summer. Mm. They're great when I bring them into the house in the fall of the year, and then when the heat goes on, they're gone.
Hmm. So are they anywhere near a duct? Are they getting hot air blowing on them?
No, I have them in a spare room up in the back, and the sun comes in there in the morning. It gets a lot of light, mm-hmm. and it's a temperature, a nice temperature, but not to the extreme of the rest of the house. And they just die. They just go limp.
Oh. Okay, so what about watering? When you bring them in, I assume
I don't water my tropical plant, my Christmas cactus too much because it's dry, mm-hmm. but the rest of them I do literally keep them moist, you know, and but they just seem to rot completely.
So yeah, when they do rot, it's okay. So remember what's happening when they're outside, beautiful sunshine, obviously humid summer, plants are super happy, everything's great. When we come inside, even if they're going right in on a window ledge, the light level drops quite dramatically because our windows have all kinds of UV stuff that's blocking extreme sunshine from getting into our homes and fading our furniture because we care about those things. The plants suffer as a result of the lower light levels. So one thing you might consider next year, at the end of the summer, you know what plants you want to bring in. So rather than going straight from outside to inside, while they're outside, start a process of moving them into the shade outside. Lower the light levels outside over a period of, say, 2 weeks. So move them into shadier location over a period of 2 weeks. You know, like start, you mm-hmm. know, a couple mm-hmm. hours one day and then, you know, leave mm-hmm. them there for, you know, mm-hmm. a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And you'll find yeah. that it won't be as shocking to come inside that way. It'll be a better transition. And also be very careful with the watering. If they do appear to be going limp and rotting, that's totally an indication of too much water. And the Christmas cactus, you can actually leave that out to get some frost. You will have better flowering if you leave it out right till Halloween, if you can, just because the Christmas cactus really responds to the short days plus the cooler temperatures. So when you bring it in, it'll be covered in buds if you leave it out there till it gets cold.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Thank you. And can I ask you another question?
Actually, you know what? We have to kind of hold firm on that. Oh, do call
back.
Call back. I can almost guarantee you're going to get back in if you call. just hang up and call right back in.
Thank you very, very much. I'll call back.
All right.
Thanks
that's wonderful.
Calling.
Thank you, Joanne.
All right.
There you are.
All right. Yes, Patrolman Proctor's always on it.
I almost had to hop in my motorcycle there.
Chase her down.
We're going to take just a little bit of a break here because we have another caller online we want to get to, of course, up in Wasaga Beach. That'd be Julia. So, Julia, hang tight. We're coming back at you here on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Sue, chef of the garden, Frank Proctor. Normally, you know, when Charlie thinks of Frank and Wasaga Beach comes into mind, she thinks of me and my Speedo. But...
How do you know?
Well, I'm just assuming. So that's not the case I know today. Hello, Julia.
Really?
Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Julia.
Yeah. I have a hibiscus plant that I've been dragging around for the last 35 years.
Oh, nice. Wow. Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's looking very sad.
Oh.
The leaves seem to be droopy. He just looks sad. It hasn't bloomed at all this year.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, he's just looking sad.
So has anything changed? The location? You moved? Or
No, it's been the same place for the year.
Yeah.
It's not very warm in there, but I don't, it's not that cold. It's in my bedroom.
Is it getting much light?
Well, we haven't. None of us have had much light this past month.
True, but still, when the sun is out, is it a room with windows facing south or west?
Side.
Oh, east.
It's okay. It's an east side. Yeah.
And is it the hibiscus close to the window?
Yes, right in front.
Okay. No, there's no covers on the window.
No. It's okay. Got lots of any light that there is. It gets.
No, that's good because hibiscus really responds to light. This is a plant that wants as much light as you can give it. All right. And you've so does it go out in the summer at all, or is it an indoor?
It didn't last summer. No. I've just moved into a I'm in a retirement home, so it's hard to get it outside.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They get big. They're hard to move around. So what I would suggest is. So it is a fairly, it's a new location in the last year. And when was it last repotted? Like years and years ago, or?
We put some new topsoil in them in the summertime.
Okay. So, you know what?
We topped it up a bit.
Yes, I'd just be super careful with watering it because the eastern location is not as bright as you might wish it to be. So just remember, do let the leaves go limp in between waterings. So, if they're limp and the soil is dry, you know it's time to water. If they're limp and the soil is moist, you know it's definitely not the time to water, and you've got to wait until that soil dries right out. If the leaves are limp and the soil is moist, it means that the root, there's been some root degradation and rotting in the roots. So you've got to really, really just hold off, like wait a month before you do any watering, if that's the case. And remember as well that, as I mentioned with one of our earlier callers, as winter starts looking a bit more spring-like and the days get longer, it will be very appropriate to pull out the fertilizer. And again, the hibiscus will respond to a flowering plant fertilizer in a month or so. So be careful with the watering in the meantime. You know, feel the soil before you water. And maybe even one of those moisture meters that Frank and I were talking about could be a handy item, because I'm sure it's a fairly big pot that hibiscus is in, and there's no way you can really stick your fingers.
It's quite a large thing. Yeah. And I've got it on a wheeler thing so that I can move it around.
And turn it. That 180 degrees, you want to turn it in front of the window on the little dolly. Good idea. Always remember, keep it moving so that you've got a balanced growth.
Okay.
Let me know how that all works out, Julia.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I just need to interject for one second.
Yep.
What Julia was saying is very interesting. My dad moved my dad into a retirement residence last March, and he took with him a hibiscus. So very same story. It came out of his condominium where it had been facing south and west in a solarium, bloomed nonstop because it loved that location. It's now in his retirement residence in a room where it faces west, but it's not getting that same amount of light. The window is smaller. Sheer curtains over the window. It has not had a bloom on it since he moved.
So
he was like, I sort of feel bad that, the poor plant, because we could take it upstairs. There is a whole garden room upstairs in the retirement residence, and I'm sure it would bloom up there. But
he wants it in his room.
We said, it's kind of nice having it here. It's like your friend, right? Your buddy. It's big. It's green. It's adding oxygen to the air. It softens the room. So either way. So he's not getting the blooms. I did open his curtains, and so we're hoping, and maybe we'll get some.
A little bit
some,
extra light might help.
Might make a difference in the next month or so.
What about a lamp?
True.
Grow light.
So grow light, maybe.
Okay. Well, a suggestion from Frankie. Can you believe it?
There you go. Frank the gardener.
you should have seen the shocked look on Charlie's face. Well, hey, Mary and Keswick, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. My question is about amaryllis.
Yes.
The thing is, before Christmas, I thought, well, I'll wait closer to Christmas. And I just realized now I haven't taken my amaryllis out of the basement.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What I'd like to know is, and I don't want to take them all out at once, is that unreasonable? Will they still bloom like if I only take the last batch out in March?
They should, as long as they, yeah, they should. And that's actually a really good idea to bring them out staggered, because that way, of course, you will have blooming over a much longer period of time. So, absolutely, I guess, depending on the quantity that you've got in there, bring out one, like every Sunday, bring out a new one or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, or a couple at a time, just because that way you should be able to get that, you know, gorgeous. Forest of amaryllis.
Okay. That was my question.
Good stuff.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mary.
I love it. Mary's got that many amaryllis piled up in her basement. That's cool.
Exactly. You know, I don't think we have time for another caller in any case. Do you have another email that we could quickly slide in here?
No, but I want to tell you something interesting I learned this week.
Okay.
Did you know, there's been some new research, did you know that the flower petals actually communicate with bees?
Go on.
Yeah. Researchers from the University of Bristol discovered that many flowers produce not just signals that humans can see and smell, but also ones that are hidden to us in the signals of heat. We can't see the heat in the petals, but the bees can.
So the
scientists conducted a number of experiments using artificial flowers that mimicked the heat patterns, but were plain in appearance. They looked alike to the human eyes, but the bees could tell them apart. So in addition to providing invisible messages to the bees, warm flowers offer another perk as well. They keep the pollinators warm. So offering a cozy stop for insects while they do their work, the warmth allows the pollinators to maintain a body temperature above their minimum threshold for flying. So you know, early in the morning or late in the day or early in the season, it's a way that the pollinators, which typically are the bees, in this case, so heated petals keep them warm while they're collecting nectar and drinking some pollen. It's pretty cool, eh?
Well, how about
that? So heated petals and the patterns they offer serve as a boon to both bee and bloom. It's a secret language of sorts.
Now, only a couple of years ago, it was that a big concern that we're losing bee populations. Is that still happening?
Yeah, we still are. Every year, approximately 30% of all the bee colonies don't survive the winter. So they're able to split the colonies to get back to the numbers they need. But the problem is when you split a colony, then you lower your honey production and you stress the colony quite a lot.
So we've talked about this before. Maybe we'll deal with it a little bit next week. And the fact that we human beings have to become pollinators ourselves. And there are ways to do that.
No, but we don't want to do that.
No?
We humans need to plant more flowers.
Oh, is that
what
it is?
What we need to do.
Oh.
Yes, you're right. Bottom line, we can go around with paintbrushes, but it'd be way smarter to just plant more flowers.
Okay.
By planting more flowers, we will have more pollinators. It will just happen.
That's one.
It's the degradation that is the problem.
Okay.
They need flowers.
All right. More about that maybe next week.
I think that wraps it up. You started me on something. Thanks, Frank. Thanks, all our great callers. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.